From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. No major incidents, but there are construction delays on Southeast Boulevard North at 31st Street. Give yourself a few extra minutes there. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
It's a control C, control V, or in other words, copy and paste forecast today. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warm again. A high of 78, south winds 15 to 25, and gusty. Increasing clouds, south winds, and upper 50s tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, clearing late tomorrow. A high of 75, continued breezy. Mostly cloudy, warmer on Thursday. Highs in the low 80s with evening thunderstorms. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now, the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some... These players, young players, now Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
A collapse in the Garden. The Hawks steal game 2 from the Knicks. The story is New York. They only hit 2 shots in the final 5.5 minutes of the game. This is an unacceptable loss. The Knicks are a championship caliber team. They have championship aspirations. Their owner has said as much, and you lose a game and let CJ McCollum steal one from you in 2026? That can't happen. I'm Dan Patrick.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you on this Tuesday. It's a good day, Paul. It's a good day. Unless you're a Royals fan, then it might have started off a little rough.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bedweed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. We come back here. We're going to talk a little Chiefs, Paul. First things first, before we get into some of what
Alrighty.
Andy Reid had to say yesterday, as we're getting all kinds of rumors. We've talked in the past, and I don't know how much you follow mock drafting and all of those kinds of things, but the mocks kind of have the Chiefs all over the place. A lot of rumors have heated up in the last 3 or 4 days that there is maybe some mutual interest for the Chiefs to move up as high as pick 3. I have said, and I said this last week, and certainly now as those rumors have heated up, I think I'm to the point now, Paul, where I prefer if they can get up to 3, and it means they get Reese or Bailey, one of the edge rushers, that would be fine with me. Of course it's cost dependent, but if it costs you the extra first round pick to move up to be able to get one of those players, I think that's my preferred choice. Now, don't overpay to do it, but I think that edge rusher, when you're at this spot in the draft, if you have a chance to get it, it's such an expensive position in the NFL right now. There is a cost consideration, I think, and a fact that the Chiefs have kind of struggled in that area for a little while now. Andy Reid has, you know, always expressed an interest in building up the offense. I think offensive line is in play, whether or not fans want to hear that. I think wide receiver is still in play. Because, you know, you've got to think of this. You got to put yourself in the Chiefs' shoes. The Chiefs are, you know, in a different sort of situation than some teams because they have Mahomes. They can get the luxury of thinking 3, 4, 5 years down the road. wide receiver is going to be a problem after this year because I cannot imagine they'll pay Rashee Rice the kind of money that free agents are getting in the open market. So I do think receiver's in play. I don't think you can overlook really anything but probably quarterback. They're not taking a quarterback, and now with Kenneth Walker, I don't think they're taking a running back, and just about everything else is in play. So as we see all that, what is Paul Savage doing with pick 9 and 29 in that first round, it's up to you?
Well, this is really an interesting draft because, I mean, once you get past Mendoza with the number one pick, and I think we all can agree that the Raiders are going to take Mendoza. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't. They need a quarterback.
Yeah, that's
done.
There was a little, you know, maybe they'll think about somebody, but they're taking Mendoza.
They're going to take him. Now, past pick 2, who knows? I mean, this has been kind of a weird year. Nobody can make a case for anything. And I heard somebody about a week or two ago talking about there may be more first-round trades in this first round than ever has been in the history of the NFL draft. I would not be surprised because you talk about checking mock drafts out, and it's fascinating and it's interesting. And by the way, you see anybody's mock draft, it's an opinion. I think we can agree with that. Nobody's
a hard thing to do.
And they are all over the place, just as the Chiefs pick. Who are the Chiefs going to pick? Well, you just went through a really good scenario, Jacob, with regards to, well, the Chiefs have this need, and the money may make them take this, or maybe somebody will trade this so that they can go get this guy. So let's trade up, and maybe we'll trade one of the first-round picks away to get something else that we want. And I find it all fascinating, but this is going to be one of those drafts where there are going to be more first-round picks while this draft is going on, then we can remember for a long, long time. So settle in when you get ready for Thursday night and you're going to settle in. I want to watch that first round because I don't know what's going on. You've got general managers all over this league. They're with you. They don't know what's going on. They don't have a clue what's going on. They got to figure out where the first chip falls, who's put available, who gives me an opportunity for this. It's going to be fascinating. And just settle in because there's going to be a lot of trades. There's going to be a lot of changes. I think it's going to be a very interesting draft. But now with the Chiefs, what are they going to do? I don't know. Because you just went over all the things that the Chiefs need and why they need them. And maybe it's money, maybe it's position, maybe it's thinking about the future, maybe this need has something. I don't know. I'm not sure. But if I had to make a guess, I'm going with edge. I'm going with an edge player. We've seen in modern NFL football, Jacob, just how important an edge rusher is, don't we? How important is that? It changes the course of games. It changes down and distances. It changes every aspect of every offense in the NFL if you have that edge rusher. And I think that no matter what you always think, the Chiefs can't go wrong with a great edge rusher in the first round. Now, it's just me. Are there other needs? Yeah, you just spelled them out a minute ago, and I'm with you. But for me, if I had to settle down and make a pick, it would be edge. And why would I do that? Because there's a lot of darn good edge rushers in this draft. There's going to be a number. There's probably 10 of them that you could almost make a case for them being drafted in the first round. But I would settle and I would go get that best edge rusher that's available if I still have number 9.
Yeah,
Am I wrong on that?
No, well, I'm with you on edge rusher. That'd be my preferred pick, but with 9 after those first two, I'm not sure I love all the names right there. There may be a bunch of good edge rushers in this draft.
There are.
But when we get down to it and you're looking at mock drafts and, you know, we get into it, it's really Reuben Bain of Miami, who I think everybody loved to watch as they made their run through the playoffs and into the championship game. But sometimes at that position, Paul, and you know this, you've coached him forever, it does feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that is a position where it like the measurables typically hold true, right? Like there is a there is a body type, a set of athletic skills at that position that feels pretty universal. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to find guys that don't fit it that aren't great. You are. But when I'm looking at, because they have other big needs, they have a real big need at corner. I'm not going to hold out that they don't take an offensive lineman there if they feel like it's the best player. It's just, are you comfortable at nine, not at 29, but at nine, that first pick after those first two edge rushers? Do you think, let's say, Bain, Falk of Auburn has been up there listed about around that high? Those are the two most consistently.
That's right.
Are you comfortable with maybe taking those guys just a little bit higher than what you'd see in their overall ranking, reaching to some degree to get one of those guys?
Well, that's very.
Or at nine, do you pivot and you go into, and Andy Reid mentioned this best player available. Everyone mentions the best player available. I don't think that's just some cliche. I think it's real. When you're picking as high as the Chiefs are picking and you never pick that high, that doesn't feel like the spot to reach. That feels like the spot to make sure you get a really good football player, regardless of the position.
Right, right. And I know you're kind of speaking to the terms with Reuben Bain, if you believe in him, kid out of Miami, edge rusher, really good player, good college player. However, here's the problem with the NFL. He's 6'2", which means he's probably in real life 6'1.5". But I think that's a problem. One of the things to be one of those great edge rushers that we're talking about, you've got to be a little bit taller. That's why when you look at the draft and you look at the first two edge rushers that are going, you mentioned them both, Reese and Bailey. I don't think there's any question that they'll both be gone by five. I'll be stunned if either one of them's there by four, maybe. They're both going to be gone fairly quickly. But 6'4", 6'4", those are the kind of kids that you look at, and those are the ones that in the first rounds you want to take. That's why and nothing against Reuben Bain. He's got a motor. He's got some skills. He knows how to use his hands in pass rush. He's quick, uses his quickness. Sometimes I'm not crazy about how he uses his quickness, but he's still going to be, you know, a powerhouse in the NFL, we think. But I'm always hesitant with a 6'2". Edge rusher. You like those guys a little taller, a little lankier, makes elevation to block knockdown passes a little better, all kinds of reasons. So with that being said, then you'll go at least maybe 10, 15 spots before you get to the next edge rusher. But you're right. The problem with edge is that unless you're gonna go with Bain, you know that Bailey and Reese they're probably going to be gone, aren't they? They're probably going to be gone.
There were some a long time ago mocks that maybe had Bailey slipping a little bit, but those two guys aren't making it to nine.
Yeah, they're not going to.
If the Chiefs, and that's why I get into, and I think we're maybe sharing a brain on that. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, I see those two guys. I see a position of need. I also see myself with you've got pick 29 down there. Now, they've got to replace a lot of things, but you can use that. I would if the cost is generally that second first round pick, and let's say you got to throw in a third or something next year to move up and get Bailey or Reese, and it sure sounds like Reese is going to be a Jet at two. So it's Bailey. Bailey was probably my favorite player in this draft coming in. Now, again, and I say this to TJ all the time, and I think you're probably with me on this, too. I got to be careful because I watch the most Big 12 football. It's what I watch, watching KU, watching K-State, watching Big 12 football. So I do understand that, like, I get a little bit biased towards some of these elite Big 12 players because I've seen them. Like, Jordan Tyson looks like a great receiver if he can get through his injuries because we saw him play at Arizona State and we've seen what he can do firsthand. We just watch more of them. Now, we watch some of these Ohio State players too because they've been such an elite team over the years. But I'm trying to sit here and not like overvalue somebody because they played in the Big 12 and we watched him and, you know, to try to put him up against, you know, Falk of Auburn. I didn't watch any Auburn last year. They weren't very good. So that's, I got to be careful with that too. But I do think generally, and you look at the scouts and you look at, and everybody agrees, like it's Reese and Bailey in some order. So if the cost is just to use 29 to move up to 3 and get Bailey, if you're telling me it's that or take Bain at 9, I'm taking option A. I'm going to use the extra pick and go up because the Chiefs can be aggressive. You got Mahomes. And by the way, Andy Reid talked about Mahomes' recovery. That all seems to be going fine. But you've got Mahomes. You've got a longer window than most teams. So they do, I think, get the luxury of a little more flexibility. If they love Bailey and they want to, you know, overpay a little bit to go get the player that they think is going to be, you know, that dude for 10 years, do it. I got no problem with that. If they want to sit back and say, we've got too many needs, let's just sit here with all these picks we've got this year and let's just take the best player every time. I'm okay with that too. They just, with that pick down at 29, Paul, like that's where historically they've gotten a little risky and they've missed on those picks a lot. So if you're in love with Bailey, what'd they do the last time they were in love with a player like that? With Patrick Mahomes. They got aggressive. They traded up. Oh, happened to play at Texas Tech too, by the way, which is kind of funny. But they got aggressive. They went up and they got their guy. That worked out. If they love Bailey like that, then go do it. I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with going to try to get one of the real, real elite players out of a draft where people are kind of generally saying maybe it's not quite as talented as some drafts in the past. But there's going to be a lot of good options. You've seen Mox, Paul. I know you've seen Caleb Downs play. You see safeties like that in college football that make as big an impact in a game as he has for years and years. He is another guy that slides down there. And I got to tell you, if the worst case scenario is you're sitting there at 9 and maybe you don't desperately need a safety, but you walk out of that draft with Caleb Downs at 9, that's going to be just fine too. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs are in a really good spot.
Right.
I think they're in a really good spot. What I don't want to see him do is reach on a player that's not talented enough maybe to be at 9 because they're stuck and they don't really love anybody. Have that plan now. Like, do they have, because Mendoza will go 1, do they have 8 players that they love enough to say, happy to have them at 9? Mm. Because if it's not, if they don't, then they got to have a backup plan. If it doesn't look like, because if you're sitting there, don't reach at 9, trade down at that point. Just keep getting more picks. I don't want to see him overdraft a player there just because it's like, well, we didn't really love anybody, but so we just went kind of for the position we needed. And that would be the one thing I wouldn't want to see out of this. Maybe they love Reuben Bain. Maybe they've talked to him and watched his tape and they're not as worried about what you mentioned. He doesn't fit the, you know, he doesn't fit the mold of the league's elite pass rushers. Maybe they don't have a problem with that. And I'm fine with that too, if that's the way they evaluate it. Mm-hmm. But they've struggled drafting defensive ends and edge rushers over the years here, Paul. I'd rather just see him get the most talented guy.
And then I might say back to you with regards to what you just said is that, well, hold on just a second. So maybe you stick with number 9. Maybe you end up with Bain. And maybe I'm totally wrong. He's going to be a good defensive lineman. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying, you know, defensive edges can often be the difference of really good defenses and so-so defenses. But you end up with a good number 9 pick, and now you get back down to 29. There's probably going to be some really good corners. There's probably going to be some really good corners that are still going to be available in this draft. And now at 29, you get to go get yourself a really fine corner in this draft. Now that's the other scenario that how that can play out. And I find that fascinating, too, because I don't mind all, you know, corner is such an important position. I mean, you know, it's one-on-one. I mean, they make you, they break you, they frustrate you, they make you cheer. I mean, corners are a unique position. But then all of a sudden, you drop down to 29, and I think there's going to be some really good NFL possibility-type corners in still left in this draft. I mean, that's your other option. Stick with what I guess you call mediocrity, and I don't know if that's the right term or what you I don't know that you even said that, but I'm kind of reading into that. But stick with number 9, take what's available in edge, and then go get a corner around 29. How about that?
I'm fine if they take corner at 9 too. Delane's probably good enough. Real quick, we'll get to some comments. Keep them coming on the other side. But yeah, it's you got to think about style too. I mean, Spags probably gets a little bit of grace here to give his opinion and his input. You've got to stylistically have players that fit. But I think Spags or anyone would tell you, if it's an elite player, you'll figure out how to use them.
Yeah, that's right. They'll find their way to the field, won't they?
And you know, how you fit that's kind of the same thing with Downs. Like, is safety their biggest need? No. But that guy's an elite football player. You'll figure out a way to utilize that. I kind of think they're trading up.
I'm not surprised if they do. I can't predict, neither you nor I, nor anybody, is going to make predictions on how this draft goes.
I think they want to. Now, they're not going to get desperate and do something crazy.
Right.
But Brett Veach is not afraid of a trade.
Right.
We know that. The dude loves to trade. So it's a draft maybe with fewer truly elite type prospects, we'll call them, because there may be tons of elite players we don't know until they get on the field.
Okay.
But we'll continue the conversation. We'll take some of your comments on it. Want to get Paul's thought on Fernando Mendoza's decision not to go to the draft Thursday night. We'll get into all of it on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Radio KFH.